I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Wolf Creek. Wolf Creek is a 2005 Australian horror film written, co-produced and directed by Greg McLean. It follows three backpackers who get stranded in the Australian outback and are then plunged into a hellish nightmare of insufferable torture by sadistic, psychopathic local.
Whoa. Sean, you got anything you want to say, mate?
I don't really. I'll let you in a little secret. Australian cinema?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it. What are we doing in this country?
I don't think that's true, Sean.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know why you don't hate it?
Why?
Because we enjoyed a movie starring Australia's greatest export, Sharni Vinson.
Which one?
About sharks.
Like I said, I hate Australian cinema.
Do you hate exploitation cinema? Because, like, I think obviously there are some
there's some good stuff.
Yeah. we've got The Castle as number one. I think everyone has a soft spot for The Castle.
In most recent times, I've loved The Stranger.
I think
that's a great Aussie film.
Yes, film.
There's obviously great Aussie films. I hate this style of film, whether it's Australian or not, really.
Right,
but Australians do lean towards the misery porn.
Yeah.
And this isn't. This is torture porn.
Torture porn, yeah.
And I have all... I basically have zero interest in this kind of film.
Agreed.
I hated the fact that I had to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
And I know it's a well-regarded Australian film and it sort of kicked things off for a lot of people and all that.
But yeah.
It's just fucking trash. Sorry. Watching a cunt tie a woman up, it's... I hated it. I fucking hated it. It's real. Take my glasses off. I don't want to see the world cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, were you... We knew what we were getting in for.
Yeah.
So I'd not saying this. Obviously, it's one of those. It's one of those big blind spots for us because we know what it is.
Yeah.
We are Scaredy Boys. Yep. Why would we watch Wolf Creek?
Right.
We've done how many seasons of this fucking thing, and we've never watched Wolf Creek.
I would have said before this podcast existed, like someone would have mentioned Wolf Creek, and they would have said, "Have you seen it?" I'm like, "No," and I would have happily and confidently said to them, "I will never watch that movie. Never in my whole life."
I wish I'd never watched it. And I would say this, I get why we have to tick it off. We're Australians. It's a big Australian horror movie.
Yeah.
We don't have to do torture porn stuff anymore.
No. It's a subject I really don't have any interest in.
It has nothing, there's no redeeming qualities in that cinema for me.
I think something like Saw potentially, because it's kind of got this
mystery.
Weird mystery playfulness to
Saw
it.
The Saw that we've seen had the detective element as well. Yeah. There's a little bit going on. I assume that franchise dips into torture porn stuff.
I think so.
The second Saw... continues that whodunit mystery thing of them trying to find out where Jigsaw is doing the thing that he's currently doing, because they're watching like a live stream of it and they're trying to piece bits together.
Yeah.
But then I know that they just get a bit like, it becomes very much about the set piece traps and less about the mystery of until, from what I'm hearing, Saw 10X, the newest one, is apparently fantastic.
Okay.
Like, I remember it came out at the same time as The Exorcist Believer.
Right.
And that bombed.
Yep.
And for some reason, like, you look at the... And again, Rotten Tomatoes is a bit of a whatever.
Yeah.
But you look at the Rotten Tomatoes score and it's like, Believer's got like 40% and Saw X has like 85.
Yeah, yeah,
shit. It's like, okay, so...
I've heard it's good, but I've watched one of them and you're telling me there are 10 of them.
We can jump around.
So we can jump around.
That's a lot of torture.
Like the great song... Jump around.
Yeah.
jump up and get down.
Those are the words I've always lived my life.
That is the code. That is, if you go back to the Reed family tree, that's on our coat of arms.
I'll tell you someone else who did not like this movie. Roger Ebert put it on his most hated list.
Go on, you, Rog.
There's a part of Greg McLean, though, that would be like, yeah, I did it.
Got it. I mean, like,
got him.
Well, I mean, good for you then, Greg.
Well, Tarantino froths this.
Of course he does.
Yeah, but that's no shocker. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one that's obviously would split people, and that's fine. Like we've talked about with movies before. You're allowed to enjoy whatever it is you enjoy. For us personally, there is little here to connect with. And it's something that I think goes back to, Sean, I think you first brought up in our Boogeyman episode.
Boogeyman, yeah.
And it really unlocks something for me where you talk about, we like horror movies that even if they don't necessarily end well, they've got a care for humanity.
They place a value on human life and this doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. And this definitely doesn't.
This doesn't. This is just so concerned with fuckhead putting his hat on and standing in a silhouette like some sort of fucked Aussie Indiana Jones sort of silhouette figure. Like they want these iconic shots, and it's like, yeah, great, but the iconic shot is of a fucking murderer. Like, I hate it.
I think what also gets me about these sorts of ones where there's no care for humanity, there's no value on human life, is it's actually asking the audience to dip into their worst part and kind of go, oh, what's he going to do next?
Yeah.
And like weirdly almost be like thrilled by this psycho and seeing, like, and don't get me wrong, obviously slashers play in that area as well, but slashers are sort of heightened and a bit goofy, where this, the whole point of this is it's reality. It's actually trying to be, and obviously is based on stories out in the outback of some level of reality, which to me is also a bit cheap. I don't necessarily know that I love that.
Well, I mean, I didn't hate it as much as you two.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of looking at it on what it is, I suppose. And I guess it is bleak. It is pretty awful. And it's not something that we would watch a lot of.
No.
But I think Greg McLean has taken something that is horrifically part of the history of Australia.
Yeah.
In that our country, there's a great, you can see those maps of like cities, countries lit up. And you look at America, right?
Mm.
There's a lot of lights across all of America. There's some dark patches, but there's a lot of lights across America. You look at Australia, it's all around the outside.
It's just the fringes.
There's just there's stuff in the middle that just is like,
I think you're underestimating America, mate.
No, I know. But obviously coasts are the way to go. But we just don't have like, there's no lights in the middle.
Right.
Like at all. There's lights in middle America.
Yeah.
You know, there's places like Ohio and those other flat places. What's that? Right. Is it Ohio that like doesn't have any fucking mountains? It's just like flat the whole way through. Yeah. Kansas? I don't know.
Right.
Fuck, I don't know about American geography, and that's not what I'm not going to learn. I refuse.
Okay.
America has only two locations based on movies that I've seen. Washington at three. Washington, America, and LA. Wait, New York.
Vegas.
Okay.
New Orleans.
Washington, America, and New York.
Yeah. Okay. And America is a combination of a whole bunch of other places.
Tom went on a tangent, but somehow he got double with every sentence he was saying.
Anyway, back to this. I think it's a really interesting concept that plays into that idea of the desolateness of this country.
For sure.
Where the villain is John Jarrett's Mick, obviously. Right. But I think the other part is that the true monster of Australia is the wilderness. Like,
there's
those bits where he's telling them anecdotes around the campfire. He's like, I know a guy who got lost on his own farm. And there's another farm that's three states and it takes you 6 days to get from
right. Yeah.
And I think the vastness of it is a really interesting weapon. They weaponize the vastness of it because it's that thing of like, you could, if this was happening in a city or in a town, you could get away from Mick, you could go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you could weapon up or get help or do something.
Yeah.
You get away from Mick.
Where does it matter?
Where are you?
Where are you? Like, you look at like when Ben escapes at the end there. Right. He's just wandering the desert. Like he's
dehydrated.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think, the real horror of it is that yes, there's the active horror of Mick and the awful things that he does. But even just the idea that even escaping, you could do everything right. You could kill Mick Taylor.
Mm.
You could escape from him. Wouldn't fucking matter because you're so far away from civilization that you just have to rely on luck that someone else will drive past you. And then you got to roll the luck of that person isn't just a Mick Taylor 2.0.
Yeah. Right.
This is true. Also, based on whatever injuries you've got from dealing with Mick.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably going to die anyway.
Yeah.
We see them escape like 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And they get caught. The only Ben obviously escapes at the end, but like Chrissy gets out. She gets out. She gets on the road. She gets picked up by someone. Great. Yeah, doesn't fucking matter. She's still too far away from any meaningful help.
Hmm.
And in the words of the great Charlton Copley, in a very good movie, Beast, we're in his territory now.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our questions, I want to sort of talk about the first act of this thing because I quite enjoyed the first act before I disconnected and we just got
into the torture porn. It takes a while to really actually get to the...
Yeah, which again like makes me go, okay, you've got the skills to make this more than a torture porn. And I know that's like he achieved what he set out to achieve and it's just not for me. And I do fully recognize that.
I'm going to say something that will frustrate the fuck out of both of you. I don't think this is torture porn.
cut his microphone off.
It's got
cut I don't know off. How you can possibly say that, mate. The scenes with Mick Garrett, who's like gleefully doing his thing.
You've fused John Jarrett and Mick Taylor whatever. To make Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil.
Let him cook.
Let
him cook.
You look up to the silhouette, there's a hat, takes the hat off and just starts dancing and going, when the beds are burning.
That scene is 100% torture porn. I don't know how you can claim this is not torture porn, mate. He is literally torturing her and getting off on it like people do when they watch porn.
Yeah,
like,
come on, Tom.
It is the definition, brother.
So
you have the floor.
There is...
No, fuck you.
No, I don't want
to
hear it.
I just wanted to try the Sean Carney fuck you on it.
It doesn't sit right on
no,
you.
No, I don't know.
You're not wearing a hat. Yeah, also, just for listeners, Sean is wearing a fucking Mick Taylor hat.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Ah, whatever. I'll have to sit through that movie. I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable, you fuckhead.
You kept doing the laugh all night.
Yeah,
too.
Nearly killed you last night.
Oh, it was bad.
Tom was choking on water and I did the Mick laugh and he nearly died.
It was played beautifully.
It was good. It has torture porn in it. He tortures people and he kills them. I think we've seen other movies where even like harder slashers where people get tortured and brutalized in a slasher that I don't necessarily think.
So you think on this show, we've watched something more torture porny than this?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, just that you've watched in your life.
No. I think it has torture elements, but I don't think it falls into the genre of torture porn because it's not like you think about Saw. Saw falls more into that because there's so many, like, it's from start to finish, whereas this is like, there's a section where he is torturing people.
I disagree.
And so I still think it's like a slasher.
You know, on the internet, I really love the
film.
I love the let him cook thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I like letting people cook.
Okay.
You get big ideas.
Right.
Don't let this guy cook anymore. What are you fucking talking about?
I just don't think it's torture.
Demo had this 2 minutes ago when he said he's torturing them and he's getting off over it. It's torture porn.
Yeah, but I think...
It is torture porn.
And I think it's inviting the audience to get off on it as well. Yes, the first act is actually a really well done first act that is not torture porn, but it's only there to service how horrible the later scenes are. Like, even the fact that he's like hung up on a cross with the nails in his fucking wrist. Like, I'm sorry, mate. It is torture porn for days.
It's the definition.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Why?
It just doesn't feel like there's enough of it. Does that make sense? Like, it feels like there's other stuff happening. It's more of a road chase movie. It's a road movie for the first probably 45 minutes.
It is, but only to make the torture porn worse.
I just don't think it falls. I think...
You're psycho, Tom.
Again, and I prefaced this when I said it, that you're not going to like my opinion on this.
Because it's dumb.
I think...
This is
it
the
diminishes it.
If people have a top 10 torture porn list, they're putting this movie on it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just think there are movies that are more torture porny, and this doesn't categorize it. You're going to look up.
We're
going
to have
porn?
To agree to disagree on this one,
mate. But I think it's a subjective thing. So you're not going to find an objective list that's like Wolf Creek is definitely torture porn.
I don't even like typing torture porn movies into my phone right now.
Yeah, why are you doing that? You're going to be on a list, mate.
Yeah, I should have gone into dark mode or whatever it's called,
incognito mode.
This could take some time.
I want to talk about that first act because I actually think it was done really, really well. I think it's a really great representation of, again, it's exploitation, but you've got those expats, you've got the lifestyle they're living where they're just boozing every night and they're like, you know, having a good time. I like the connection between the three characters. That all felt really good. And then even the Australian characters we see beforehand, we start off with the sleazy car salesman who's like the idea that all the Aussie men that they basically come across, bar Ben, are just like looking at these women as not really people.
Technically, bar Ben and the first interaction they have with Mick Taylor. That's, I think, the thing that makes him such a terrifying villain.
And I'll say Graham as well. Graham seemed like a sweetheart.
Graham at the server. But yeah. I think that's the
Graham doesn't know how to talk to people.
No.
Say hello. Hi. I think that's the weapon and the scary part of Mick Taylor is when they first meet him, he makes one sort of off-color joke and they kind of all freeze up because I don't mean that. I'm just kidding. Look, I'll help you. And he actually seems like he's a weird dude who lives in the bush, so he's a bit rough around the edges. But he's not a creep. He's not horny. He's not any... So, of course, when he's like, I could help you, they're a bit like, oh, I don't know. And he goes and says, look, how much do you want for it? He's like, I'm not going to charge you. Like, what? He seems too good to be true. And then he turns out, of course he is. But that's, I think the real scary part of him is that charmer. When she's watching those videotapes, when she goes looking for Ben and car keys when she goes back.
Yeah.
And he literally hits the exact same beats with that family with them, where he's like,
almost
nothing like water from the top end, like that whole.
Yeah.
And you're just watching this and you're like, that's, I think, yes, he's terrifying when he's up and running and doing killing. But it is most dangerous is when he's this lovely, friendly Crocodile Dundee guy. He is actually the friend outside of Ben, who's a city slicker.
Mm.
In terms of people that they've met so far, he's actually the nicest person they meet up until he's not.
Yeah.
And that's why that's where I think the movie, where the movie's working at its best, where it's like, it could be anyone. That kind of, it could just be anybody.
Yeah, yeah. And I can get on board for some of that. Like I said, I think it ultimately loses me because then it's just like, ah, haha, gotcha. And then now it is torture porn.
Yeah.
We don't need to go down that road again. One other thing I did also like while I'm saying the parts that I liked, which was mostly in the first act, was the Meteoros site. One, I didn't know that was a real site.
It's a real place, yeah.
Two, it looks awesome. It's so cool. And then three, the way, like, obviously it's this slightly not factual, I think.
Fanciful,
thank you. Where it kills the batteries for some reason of both cars and watches and all this sort of stuff. But it's a nice little piece for... That because of that, that's where
Mick goes.
Mick goes, and he's like, yeah, it's like this routine that he has. He knows he'll find someone stranded there. He knows he can play savior and then do his nasty work. I just thought that was a nice, like, it's not just that he happened to find, obviously, it is so vast. That's what we get told. This place, like, it's so crazy vast, and you are so crazy isolated that, like, wow, to run into this guy is just bad luck. No. He had a plan. He was waiting for you to visit this site.
It's even that bit where she's going through their camera footage and his truck is at the servo.
Yeah.
And part of me would love to go back and just watch that sequence to be like, is it always there or do we just see it in there? And I imagine it's there when they pull in. Like,
yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You clocked it?
I thought one of you did. One of you said, that's
Well, I thought it was his ute. I'm like, oh, is that his truck that they park next to?
Oh, yeah,
no, that turns out to be... What's his name inside?
No, that was Mick's one.
Nah, Mick's truck's in the background.
Oh, is it? Okay, I just thought it was that one at the front.
Right.
No, yeah, she only sees it in the footage of Graham saying hello to the camera.
Okay. I'm on Tom's home turf, IMDb.
Yes.
I'm looking up a list of top 10 torture porn films. You've got Funny Games. You've got an Aussie one called The Loved Ones, which Joel Dusha tried to get us to watch.
That's interesting. There's brutality. Again,
various human centipede films.
Of course, yeah.
Sarlo, which Joel Dusha has also told us about.
We can do The Loved Ones for this.
Wolf Creek.
Oh, there you go.
Mm.
It's on the list.
I think it's reductive.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think you understand what torture porn is, mate.
So for it to qualify as torture porn, you want like 90 minutes of someone being tortured.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I've accidentally seen Martyrs.
Yeah, great.
So that is my baseline.
But I think you've got a bar way too high, mate. Like,
maybe. I don't know. I just think, because I've seen The Loved Ones too. And there's some brutal stuff in that, but like, it's not just wall-to-wall awful stuff. Like, there's some bad stuff in it. There's some bad stuff in all horror movies.
But my understanding of The Loved Ones is that the guy's tied up in a chair and she is torturing him.
For a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But then he escapes and the movie turns into something else.
So sorry, but you want it to be it's not a documentary about someone being tortured. It's a narrative film.
It still has to have a story.
Where you meet the characters at the start and then they get into trouble and then they get tortured.
Yes, it's a plot point. Torture porn. I don't think it's a whole genre.
This guy's fucked in the head.
I don't know what he's talking about.
While we were watching this last night.
And I've known him for too long now. He finds new ways to make me sick.
While we were watching it, I was like, oh, the boys are going to hate me talking about this.
Next time you have a fucking mouthful of water, I'm going to laugh like Mick. Like fucking Mick Garrett or whatever his name is.
Every time you take a sip of water,
you're like, what do we do? All the bad's happen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, boys.
Sorry.
Where are we scared?
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. He's creepy as shit. Because you know what we know, the minute he shows up, if you didn't know what this movie was the first time you went to see it, when he shows up, you're like, oh, this guy's a bit weird. Because we know what we're getting into. The minute he shows up, you're like, ah, fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
The very real genre of torture porn.
Yep.
isn't as effective in terms of me being scared by it. I'm just utterly disgusted by it the whole way through. So I don't, like in the things that we've watched, I'm not going to count this as a very scary one. It's just one that makes me sick and I fucking hate.
Yep. I think that's fair. Like, I think they did the usual trick of like, oh, we're going to make you care about these characters. And I did care about these characters.
I cared about two of them. Well, I mean, one of them, we just didn't really get to know the other
one. That's true. The other, but because, we know what these characters are in for. And I know that there's that lack of love for humanity, this lack of care of human life that I have to disengage in a way I normally wouldn't allow myself to do.
Yeah.
Or I'm just disengaged because, I'm like you said, I'm kind of a bit disgusted by it. I'm not there for it.
Mm.
Like, you can make a movie about anything. And don't get me wrong, the world can be a fucked up place.
Mm.
It can also be magic. It can be beautiful. It can have, like, just amazing things. And yes, we're going to face adversities, and yes, we're going to face horrors in our lifetime, but we also have hope and we can overcome and we can have value for human life. And so, like, as soon as I know that's the kind of film I'm watching, I just think, I'm not interested in that view of the world. I'm not that interested in that view of any kind of story of that view of the world. Like, I don't want to engage with it because I don't 100% agree with it.
Yeah, it's the same with, like, I don't really engage with true crime anymore.
Right, okay.
I used to probably years ago, but, like, I reached a point, and there was a certain book that I was reading. I got a little bit into it. It was about the Golden State Killer.
Yeah.
I'll be gone in the dark. I didn't even finish the book. I read a little bit of it, and I was reading, like, one of the cases, one of the events in it that happened to one of the women, and I was just like, why am I choosing to absorb this information?
Right.
This is like the darkest parts of the world. It's disgusting. It makes me sick. I put the book down. I don't know. I got people who are like, have you listened to this true crime podcast, this TV show about this serial killer? And I'm like, I just don't want to engage with it.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Can I pose a hypothetical question to you?
Is it going to make us angry again?
No, I don't think it will. But genuinely, if this movie, what's her name? The not Chrissy.
Liz.
If, I was going to say Cassie, but that's her actual name. If Liz wins in this movie and, like, in that bit where she goes back to get the car, she gets fucked up, but she fights Mick, she kills Mick, and she survives.
Mm.
Even if Ben gets killed or one of the others killed, because she's, like, sort of the most active character in the film.
Would we have got more out of that? Yeah,
a little bit. If she fights back and wins, even if she doesn't kill Mick, she fights back, she escapes.
Right.
Do you enjoy the movie more?
Yeah, a little bit more, definitely. For sure. But it's still torture porn.
Like, even the fact that for Ben ultimately getting, like, the win of keeping his life, like, he definitely has to, like, overcome, like, he has to obviously do the horrible thing of pulling himself off the wall and all this sort of stuff. But for the other two, they really, like, went up against their adversary where he just vanished from
the narrative for the whole thing.
Yeah, which, like, I guess they're going that. I think that's all to do with subverting expectation, which is, like, that's pretty. I don't hate that necessarily.
No, as a concept, the idea that you're watching this movie, Liz feels like, I knew someone survived. I couldn't remember who. I thought it might have been Liz because of the poster. And then I remembered that my partner has shown me one scene from this movie, and it's the head on a stick scene.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you made that experience worse for us.
Yeah.
And I think if she survives, maybe it doesn't feel as bleak an ending, even if Mick is still out there. Because you can still have your cake and eat it too, you know. Sure. Michael Myers doesn't ever fucking die.
No, ever.
He gets fucking blown up, shot in the head. Yeah. How many times did Donald Pleasant shoot him in Number One? It's like, I shot him 10 times!
Tonally, I feel like they're a lot sillier.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah. No question.
Well, now they are.
Oh, even the first one had a
but as in, like, when Halloween comes out when it first comes out in the first year,
I didn't watch it when it came out, though.
No, but does that... This is what I mean. In the prism of when it came out...
To be honest, I'm not going to be thinking about Wolf Creek and be like, 30 years from now, this is going to be a bit of a laugh.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't mean it like that at all. I think because the way we make movies is better than... I'm getting in the weeds of what I was wanting to know. I was just curious to know that if there had been a bit more of a win, would you guys have been more on board?
Yeah, because it would have undone some of this no care for humanity. Like, I think it would have said, that thing of we face horrors, but if you can manage to find some bravery, if you can go up against it, you might still be able to win the day. Like, this to me, what I get out of horror is that I think horror can be such a powerful genre to actually give people hope. I think for, again, non-horror watchers like we were before this, it feels like this. It feels like every horror movie is Wolf Creek when the reality is actually vastly different. Most horror movies help you face your fears and come up against them and like get a new level of hope that you didn't have before. So I think for this one, the fact that it doesn't have hope is what I'm against it. But ultimately, if she won and had hope, yes, I would be more there for it.
100%. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Even though someone does win.
it doesn't feel like a win, I think, is part of the issue. Like I said, it's not...
Well, someone does survive.
Yeah, and again, I think it's purposely not following your usual tropes and storylines, but ultimately to a way that I personally find less satisfying.
How did he get away anyway? What are you doing, Mick?
Mick out shooting Chrissy.
Yeah.
Just shit at his job.
Really. Man, he would get back to his little mansion. Mm. Fucking filthy.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you know he does that thing where he yells at himself for leaving the fire lit?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mick, you should have fucking cut his legs off.
All right. Big question here. Did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Sean, you have the floor.
Idiots. They're all dumb.
Tell us
Mick's
why.
Mick's dumb. I mean...
I love that Mick's also dumb.
Mick's dumb. He's a fucking idiot. Yeah. God, I'd love to fight him. I just think, you know, there is a thing. So they're at the crater.
Right.
When he shows up, they don't really have a choice.
No, no.
And if the movie had done its work to sort of stipulate how much activity this crater gets, maybe.
Right.
Like if you know that people are going to be coming by,
yeah.
You just don't. So in your mind, you think, if you're them, you're probably like, oh, we're just going to get stuck here.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
guy's offering
yeah.
to give us a lift. He seems a lot nicer than all the other fuckheads.
And he's also
met.
Doing this really important thing where he feels like he's giving them all the control.
Yeah.
He's saying, look, he's you don't like, have
yeah,
to.
If you want to, yeah. you talk about it, I'm going to go get
yeah. it's that great bit when he's like, yeah, that's north.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
going south.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Like, just like, you know, I can help you, but
like, yeah.
only if you're going this way.
It's right. not like he's like not taking no for an answer and be like, no, get in the car. We yeah. go. No, you're yes. not staying here. No, he's very much, yeah, he gives them the choice. I don't know if I can be critical of them in that moment.
No, I agree.
I would probably have said to old mate, the guy, whatever his name is, I can't remember.
Ben, yeah.
Ben, maybe you should ride with him at the front.
Right.
Just he can even have that communication. It's kind of yeah. like this, that's when you're completely stranded. They're getting towed for hours, it seems. And it's like, well, what if one of them needs to go and take a piss or something?
Right, right.
What are you supposed to do? You can't even, I guess you could slam the brakes on and he'd be like, oh, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
But acting wisely, yeah, okay. So they have a car.
Yeah.
They have that car. What are you doing? They drive to the edge and go, oh, shit. And then she sees the headlights coming behind and they come up with a plan and she's like, let's push it over. So he thinks that it's crashed.
Yeah.
And then her plan is what? To steal his car while he's looking.
I guess.
But she assumes he won't have taken the fucking keys
out. Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's like, you've got the car.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest weapon you can have in this scenario.
Right.
She does dumber things even before that
where she
shoots him and doesn't kill him. She even hits
him
with the gun.
Part. Yeah.
Because she can't load the gun again. Her friend's like, shoot him, finish him off. She can't do that. So she starts hitting him in the back
right. With
the gun. Crush his skull in with the butt of the gun or with your fucking shoe or any other thing that's
they're
in
that shed full of literal torture equipment.
He's got a fucking knife. Grab his knife and just stab him. I think you were saying, Tom, stab him in the head 8 times.
Right.
The fact that they don't kill him, I lose so much respect for the movie.
Or hamper him. Like, stab him in the
femoral
artery.
It's so frustrating.
Slit his Achilles.
Yeah, but you don't even have to like think about it in terms of that. Just fucking crush his head and be done with it. Because then you can actually go and search for Ben.
Right.
Because they don't even have confirmation.
Tie him up even. Even if you're not going to kill him, tie him up.
No, but like I think they don't tie him up because the assumption is shot him. He looks dead. I think he's dead. You've got to finish the fucking job.
Yeah,
I lose so much respect for the movie in that moment and for the characters. And the rest of the movie then is so frustrating because it's inevitable.
Yeah.
It's like you're all going to die and you fucking had the chance to get away.
Yeah, where up until that point, I think they had mostly been acting wisely in the sense that they were put in a situation where there was no other option. They really had no other
choice. She's really quiet. She doesn't burst in. She waits. She comes in. She's like, oh, I'm going to
even her
hide.
Lighting the fire is great. Like,
she's clever. It's like you guys said, when she wakes up, she doesn't scream for help because she's very much like, shit, all right, I got to get myself out of here silently.
Yeah.
Then goes, does the fire, distracts him. I think takes too long to cut her friend loose.
Right.
Then she's hiding. And I thought the movie sort of didn't do what I thought. I thought he was going to be very aware that she's in there.
Yes, ditto.
Yeah. Nah, she gets the drop on him. She shoots him.
Yeah.
You've got to finish the fucking job.
Right.
I could not believe it.
Again, mostly because it felt so annoying because you had done all the hard work. You'd been wise.
Yep.
You'd got yourself in a position where you should have won the day.
Yep.
And like even the other girl, obviously, he has already done horrible things to her.
Yep.
I would have loved for her to just be banshee mode.
To be brutal and just fucking stomp on his head until there's nothing left.
Just go absolute nuts on him, right? That would have been, like, of course, that's not the movie we're watching, but that would have been so satisfying and such, like,
do you know what they could have done?
Deserved.
Once she gets up, they hide. Yeah, it's not a great choice to destroy the car.
Right.
They then go, okay, there's other cars there. We'll go back and take a car and we'll try to find Ben.
Yeah.
He's got
But leaving without Ben initially, I'm like, you guys fucking suck. What
that's
is that? That's bullshit.
I think they
you don't have confirmation that he's dead or anything.
Right.
You don't even think to look for him. You could have easily looked for him if you'd done the simple thing of killing the guy that you've got on the ground.
Then you've got all the time.
Then
you've got
all the time in the world. You can grab any car you want. You can search. You can get supplies. You can get a map. You can wait till dawn and figure out where the fuck we are.
Yeah.
Oh, idiot cinema.
The only other, like, if they make those choices and they get out there, the one thing that baffles my mind is not trying to disable his car at all. Right. Like, yes, you can't. You could let the air out of the tyres. Mm. You could pop the bonnet and just take the battery out.
Right.
Just pull the fucking battery out of the car.
I don't think they know how to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think if they'd grabbed a knife back when they left, they could have stabbed his tyres.
But you could even just could have done take anything. The air out by taking off the air cap thing.
It doesn't always work as quickly as that, though. Like,
I guess.
And for a guy like him, he would have just been resourceful enough to swap it out or whatever. But yeah, they needed to stab the tyres or do something.
At least,
I honestly think it's such a mistake to destroy the car.
Yeah.
You've got the car. It's his car. It's probably the best one. Although, no, he does drive a really good one.
But he is really annoyed about it. He loves that truck because he has that whole thing. He crashes shits big time when they destroy his truck.
Yeah, I guess.
They should have just kept it and just kept driving.
Just driven. Yeah.
Like, fuck me.
So, yeah. Ultimately, foolish.
Yep.
Which is very disappointing. Because, again, we did like these characters, and I liked her escape from that room. I liked her finding her friend. I liked her lighting the fire as a distraction, getting in there, waiting, being patient.
She's so good.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating because it's a clear line where the movie's like, oh, no, but if she continues to act smart, the movie's over.
It's too much of a win. Yeah.
Unless, you could even change it so that she shoots him and misses. Like, she misses him at point blank range because she's not good. She's trying to load the gun. They get in a fight. She, knocks him out. He chases her. She hides, sneaks back in. And then it's a stealth thing, right? We've got to be stealthy.
Yep.
Yeah. The way to avoid the stupidity of it is just that whatever their interaction is, she's got to leave immediately. So it's not like a situation where they're standing over this body.
Yeah.
And they have the time to kill it.
Yeah.
It needs to be a fight in a scenario where he gets knocked down and she thinks she's done the job.
Right.
But also has to run immediately. Yeah. Like, the fact that she has so much time to do the smart thing and doesn't really
sucks. You just change it where when she lights the fire, she has the time to get her friend loose. So when he comes back, they're both gone.
Yeah.
So then it's like, all right, now they've got to be stealthy about
it.
They can't try to look for Ben because their theory is we'll get help and then we'll come back and look for Ben.
As well as, it is a big property. Who the fuck knows where Ben is being
correct.
Kept? You know?
Yeah. Correct. It's also an abandoned mine.
Yeah.
So I was reading some trivia there before that apparently there was a murder in that mine.
Okay. Yeah,
like that mine?
That exact mine. And the locals got really annoyed because they thought so apparently the crew didn't no one knew this at the time when they found it. Like, oh, this is the perfect location, they're filming there. And a bunch of locals came to protest the film. And Greg McLean and the people had to be like, oh no, we didn't know that, we're not making that film. Because people thought, oh, they're making a movie about this murder and they're glorifying it. No, we're making movies about other murders.
We're just glorifying other ones.
You're right, yeah. All right, boys. How would we do in this situation?
We win because we kill that motherfucker.
Yeah. I think if we're caught, if Sean is Liz, you know, you shoot and if the events play out exactly the same way, you shoot him, he is fucking dead.
Even if it's Damo, Damo fucking hates this.
I do.
Damo's wife hates this. Every time she watches a movie and someone acts stupidly.
Drops the knife. Pick up the knife.
Just stab away. For someone who has done these things, they have lost their right to life anymore. So I generally don't think I would have too many qualms.
No, not at all.
I do the needful.
Yeah. I mean, he's the villain.
Yep. Yeah.
He's the monster.
He's an absolute monster.
I wouldn't drink the thing that he offers me.
I used drinking water.
That he's given them?
They did say they didn't have any water. So that's the one thing we didn't
have. No, he's got you there. I guess that's rude, too, to knock back a glass of
also,
water.
Also, you would have your own water, though. You're going on a road trip for that long, you don't bring water.
True. Well, I think the assumption is they run out because they assume they'll be able to go back to the campsite and refill for their
Right, I suppose.
Stupid. They didn't bring enough provisions.
Where we are away on a Skitty Boys retreat. We've actually got a lot of water. Other than the water in the tap, there's a big tank of it just behind you. There's another bottle right behind your head as well.
Got to assume there's no phone reception anywhere out area.
No,
it's a shame because you got such a good look at his license plate for so long.
I think the thing is we need to get captured because that's the stones.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it's can we escape and beat Mick? And I think we absolutely can.
I'd sit with him though on the drive there.
Yes.
Yeah. And that would be hours.
Do you think for me to be like, to go,
this guy is fucked in the head.
Yeah. Do not drink the water.
He would do the thing that he does, which is a chilling bit where they're all joking and then Ben sort of makes that comment about freedom. And then he just sort of turns and looks at him. Yeah. He just doesn't say anything. It's absolutely fucked.
It's psychotic.
Yeah.
And one of the girls picks up on it because Ben seems to not
somehow
think
be oblivious.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, mate, that's like the worst look anyone's ever given you.
Right.
I mean, by that point, it's too late anyway.
Yeah.
They've already had it. So
It wasn't that they offended him. It was a long drawn out plan.
I did wonder at a certain point, pretty early on, is it that thing where they're going to do something offensive and then he's going to be like, I'm going to kill him. No, he was just going to kill him the
whole time.
What a madman.
Yeah. So, yeah, we kill him.
I think we win.
I need that in my life, that we kill him, I think, is my ultimate feeling about this. It's like, again, I did not have a good time with this movie.
And then, Sean, you steal his hat.
Oh, I wouldn't be wearing that hat.
Yeah, I don't think I want to wear that. That's a grub hat.
We steal his cool black car, though.
Yeah, I blow up all his cars.
We would to get out of there, but then otherwise...
No, we don't separate.
No, we take three cars. What if one of them runs out of petrol?
Ah, that's pretty good, yeah.
Convoy.
We're a convoy. And then that way, if for whatever reason we're dumb and we didn't kill him and he's chasing us, there's three of us.
Can't catch us all.
God, I'd love to kill that guy, honestly. It makes me so mad that he's alive.
How many people do you reckon John Jarrett has met and they're like, fuck you, you motherfucker.
Oh, he just seems like a piece of shit to me.
It's so funny. Have you ever watched McLeod's Daughters?
I've seen a bit of it.
So he's in that.
Is he?
And he plays like some daggy dad.
Right. Oh, fair dinkum.
Like farmhand. Yeah.
Do your dad say fair dinkum?
Yeah, my dad's got a few. My dad says fair dinkum. I can't believe you say that.
My dad's not a fair dinkum, man. He's got a lot of expressions.
I haven't heard my dad say fair dinkum for a while, but I remember from my childhood he would say it heaps.
Yeah. Right.
Can I also say, fair dinkum? I don't say fair dinkum at all in Australia. When I'm overseas, fuck me, I say it a lot.
Fair dinkum?
Yeah.
Really?
Do you get that? Like, sometimes when you're overseas...
Definitely this, g'day. I find myself saying g'day a lot. I'm like, I probably say it anyway, but I'm very conscious of it.
The Australianism...
Fair dinkum overseas. Oh,
I don't know what happens to me. I turn into a fucking lunatic sometimes. Not maybe for the first couple of days. It's like I'm compensating for being not at home.
Right.
And I just go fucking nuts for a bit. I'm g'day, mate. Yeah, how's it going? And I don't talk like that.
You just lose your mind. They go, hi, what's your name? And you go, fair dinkum.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Fucking cunt. It's my name. I'm Dave Hughes.
Okay, that's all the sketch talk we have for this episode. Fuck you, sure, Carney. I've been Damien.
I've been Tom.
I hate you, mate. Listeners, you know what to do. If you'd like to help us out, you can head over to patreon.com/scaredyboys. Otherwise, you can leave us a review or you can send us an email at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find us on Instagram @scaredyboyspodcast or on Twitter @scaredyboys or individually. I'm at Midday Pajamas. Do not do the laugh, you motherfucker.
I'm a Carney from 55.
And I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Jump up and get down.